Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 15th of April, recording at 8:43 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, that's much earlier than I normally record, but I do have a business dinner this evening. But there's plenty to talk about at this stage. First, a review of what's happened today, quick summary, rather. And Asian stock markets were quite steady in here today. Some of them were impressive. India, which had been testing its January and March lows, saw quite a firm move. It had the luxury of being closed yesterday, so didn't get hit following Wall Street's Friday sell-off, as happened to many of the other Asian markets. But nevertheless, it could have played downside catch-up, and it didn't. Now, the European stock markets are generally steady. The UK index shows one of the better performances, up 75 points or 1.29% here today. Also, IBEX is quite steady, up 1.89%. Wall Street, as I speak, shows a modest gain. It's vacillated from a little up to a little down. The long-dated government bonds are weak in the U.S. with a long bond future down over a full point. I see that the bunds are weak as well, and that will be on inflation fears, I think, because the crude oil price has surged to another new high. It's currently at 113.70. And natural gas is also strong. Food prices are surging in here today for the most part. And what else to mention? Precious metals, mixed here, with gold showing, gold's up $5 at just below 9:30. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, I feel that while bears arguably still have the upper hand, slightly evidenced by some number of still lower highs and slightly lower lows on many indices, that the medium-term downward trends for the major stock market indices do show a loss of momentum, for most of them at any rate. And that would include the U.S. indices and also the European indices. So I feel, as I've said before, that we had the important selling climaxes of January and again in March, and that we are in a overall ranging convalescence, a support building process, be another way to describe it. These will be, we'll see a continuation of sort of nervous conditions. Overall, confidence is low. There's a lot of bad news that is still being chewed over. And occasionally we get the new write-down issues, but we've probably seen the worst of those. I'm talking about the banks, of course. But then there are the economic issues of slower GDP growth. So there's a lot to keep confidence fragile in here. And also the broader stock market indices face this headwind coming from the very, very strong resources sector. So that's a recipe for, as I say, a longer convalescence and support building process by stock markets generally, which will probably last at least a few more months. But already we're seeing improvements in many markets, and valuations have improved considerably for most stock markets. Now, they aren't all equal, as an email covers in today's comment, which I've already posted, incidentally. And We need to be selective. The commodity sector remains exceptionally attractive. Yes, the food shares I mentioned yesterday, they show high valuations, but they have this astonishing pricing power. The mining companies, which are having a good day here today, they have astonishing pricing power. These are relative strength leaders. I think they will continue to do well, but of course the charts will show us, and we always want to be guided by the charts. In the US, we have a consumer discretionary shares disaster, but not all will be equally affected. For instance, Walmart shows phenomenal relative strength, and that's much more diversified than many of the other stocks in that sector. It's bigger, it's got a better balance sheet. It will emerge even stronger following this consumer spending debacle in the USA. Now, consumer stocks in the foster growth economies are doing considerably better, needless to say. But I will point out that really shares that in various stock markets around the world, shares that are clearly outperforming their broader indices right now. And the best evidence of that would be you could see that on an overlay chart, but I would like to think that they've already bottomed and perhaps established upward trends or completed bases. Certainly Walmart has completed a base. And again, so they say show that superior relative strength. I think that the majority of those companies that are outperforming today, and I emphasize the clearly outperforming once again, I think that they will also show medium to longer term relative strength in the next upward phase by the broader indices, which has yet to commence, of course. So I would be positioned, as I say, in those relative strength leaders. That's where I would do the bargain hunting, not in the shares that are still pressuring their lows or extending their overall declines. So financial shares, which are undoubtedly cheap, but the risk there is that they get a very, very long convalescence, as I've said before. In other words, that will mean that they probably see bigger base formations, not all of them. I'm talking now about the US banks and some of the European banks. Banks in Taiwan, as I've also previously mentioned, are doing exceptionally well. And Taiwan is one of my favorite Asian markets. It has attractive valuations, but essentially the political development with a government that's far less hostile towards China, and with China moderating its hard line towards Taiwan, will certainly lead to a re-rating in that area. Japan will take longer to perform, but it's undoubtedly cheap. China having fallen 50% is becoming interesting, although we don't have the evidence of technical improvement yet, but that 50% decline, it tells us that most of the downside risk has already been seen. India, a bit pricey on the valuation, so that'll need more confidence generally. It's not frightening on valuations, and it also probably has the best rate of corporate profit growth of just about any market going. And then, of course, there are the Middle Eastern and North African markets, which have been outperforming in recent months. So there are a number of interesting situations here overall. And I'll just mention, I've posted this on the site here today, but thanks to a subscriber, I mean, the Fuller Money Collective are brilliant. I've said that over and over again, but it's not flattery. It's absolutely true. You've increased my learning curve. You have helped to educate us all. We all help each other in this process, and you send in superior material. And here's an example. For instance, on sentiment indicators, this comes from an article by Dan Dorfman, where he quotes some data produced by Charles Bideman. And last month's short interest, a bet that stock prices will fall, of course, surged 0.8% to a record high on the New York Stock Exchange and 5.7% to an all-time peak on the NASDAQ. And that I've talked about short interest from January, and this is a very, very interesting classic contrary indicator. Then Charles Bideman cites the dumping of $50 billion worth of American equity funds in the first quarter, the highest level since the third quarter of 2002, of course, when the last bear market was bottoming out. Astonishing cash value, beg your pardon, astonishing cash inflows of $130 billion into retail money market funds in the first quarter versus $178 billion for all of 2007. Well, that doesn't, they don't earn a lot of interest, so you know that money will come out again, most of it, and go into the stock market as animal spirits return in the months ahead. A record $532 million was invested last week in short-oriented exchange-traded funds. Just imagine that, $532 million invested in short-oriented exchange-traded funds, the highest weekly inflow this year. About 58% of all hedge funds expect the S&P 500 to decline this month, and they expect that because they've raised a fair amount of cash, and they're also suffering redemptions, which makes them more bearish. Bond funds, a haven for safety, posted an enormous inflow last week of $900 million a day, again as confidence returns that money will come out, because the yields are not attractive, and we have the inflation problem. Bideman's conclusions, bears should go back into hibernation. Now, this is interesting stuff, in my view, but the best sentiment indicator of all of the ones that I follow, in my opinion, is the Investors Intelligence Investor Advisory Sentiment Indicator that was posted on the 4th of April. You can, of course, find it in the archive, and I've attached another link to it here today in Comment of the Day. Government long-dated government bond prices, an accident waiting to happen when people are less worried about global economic slowdown. Food price inflation, as I've mentioned, a headwind for stock markets, and resources inflation generally. This is going to pick up. The oil's the biggest problem by far, but some of the metals are quite firm. Copper, aluminium, tin, they're quite firm. The depressed ones, such as zinc and nickel, look like they're in a bottoming out support building phase, as I've mentioned before. They should eventually recover. So these suggest further inflationary problems that will be bad for discretionary consumer discretionary stocks in the weaker developed country economies in particular. But there are plenty of areas of the market that will perform, as you know. Precious metals, they're in a consolidation phase, and here within their long-term overall upward trends, that consolidation phase is quite likely to last a little bit further. Currencies, I think that the most undervalued currencies remain those of Asia. The currencies that are perhaps, and I emphasize that, most undervalued are the Asian currencies. The resources currencies remain attractive because of the growth in the resources countries and often higher interest rates. South African rand is an exception. And the euro, as the default reserve currency, is probably one of the most overvalued, but that doesn't mean that it won't become even more overvalued, because these trends in currency markets will persist until something occurs to clearly stop it. Might that be multilateral intervention? Well, possibly. It'll certainly be jawboning within Europe, but the point is the trends are in place. And the trends are consistent, and a consistent trend is usually a trend in motion, meaning that it still has somewhat further to go. And I think that's pretty much it. I will be contributing to Comment of the Day tomorrow, but I have an extremely busy day, and therefore Owen will be, who's away today. Owen will be back, and we'll be doing the audio tomorrow. Interesting developments in all these markets. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.